Welcome to The Word for Today, the broadcast ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll begin our study of Esther with the Feast of Ahasuerus, as we pick up in Esther, chapter 1, verse 1. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
The events in the book of Esther cover a period of about 12 years, and it is a fascinating book. It gives to us the historic setting for a Jewish feast called the Feast of Purim. It's celebrated in the 12th month of the Jewish calendar, which is equivalent to the March of our calendar. And to the present time, over in Israel in the month of March, they still celebrate Purim, much different, I'm sure, than they did originally. Purim has become sort of the Jewish equivalent to our Halloween, in that all of the children dress in costumes for the Feast of Purim. They have a special cookie that they bake called the Hamantash, which has sort of the shape of an ear, and it has a poppy seed filling in it, a delicious cookie, but they are called Haman's Ear, and the little boys' villains dress up as Haman, and of course the girls dress up as Esther, and it is quite a sight to see the children over in Israel during the Feast of Purim and their celebrations of this particular period of history when God in his providence spared them extermination from this descendant of Agag, the Amalek. And so the interesting thing about the book of Esther is even though the word God is not mentioned in the book of Esther, his handprint is seen through the whole book. We can see how that God is preparing in advance for what he knows is coming. The purposes of God are fascinating because God is always in that work of preparation for the future. Our problem is that we don't know what the future holds, and thus we don't understand the work of God that is happening in our lives at many different junctures of life. And we are prone to judge the entire story by one bad chapter, or what appears to us to be a bad chapter. And when things go wrong, there are disappointments and discouragement. We're prone to think that God has forsaken us, that God isn't concerned with us. And some people in this condition even begin to make foolish accusations against God. But when we see the full cycle, then we understand what God is doing. And we see how God was working all the while. And in the book of Esther, we have this interesting insight into backgrounds. Knowing the full story, it takes away a lot from the excitement and the intrigue of it. But we see that God is working far in advance, setting people in strategic places in order that he might, at that particular strategic moment in history, save the Jews from this attempted extermination. And we see how God's hand was working in the whole background. So the first three chapters is sort of setting the background for the stage. And it is just giving us some of the ways by which God was moving behind the scenes years in advance to fulfill his purposes in times to come. And as God works in our lives, sometimes the things that God is doing today are not really for today. They're for 5 years or 12 years down the road before we really see what God had in mind. And then we say, oh, can you beat that? Remember what happened to us? And, you know, wow, you know, and you see God's hand was there guiding and God was overseeing the whole program. And it's exciting then when the cycle comes around and we can look back and we can see the hand of God. So it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus. Now this is Ahasuerus, which reigned from India even unto Ethiopia over 127 provinces. The reign of Ahasuerus, he is thought to be the Xerxes of secular history. That in those days, when King Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan, the palace. Now, Shushan was the winter palace for the Persian king. It is in a desert area. It gets much too hot to stay around there in the summer. And so it was the winter palace of the Persian monarchy. In the third year of his reign, so mark this, it's the third year of his reign that this particular incident took place. He made a feast unto his princes and his servants. And the power of Persia and Media, the nobles, the princes of the province were assembled before him. And when he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellent majesty for many days, even 180 days. And when these days were expired, the king made a feast unto all the people that were present in Shushan, the palace, both unto the great and small, 7 days in the court of the garden of the king's palace. So nobles have been brought from the 127 provinces, the chief and notable people. And they had this great feast for 180 days as he displayed to them all of the glory, all of the wealth of the Persian Empire. And of course, according to Herodotus, the historian, it was one of the wealthiest of all early empires. And when Alexander the Great finally conquered Persia, he was an extremely wealthy man, for he conquered and took the wealth of this great empire. And so this feast lasted for 180 days. And after that, they had a 7-day continuation in which everybody participated. It was a general feast for all of the people. Palace was all decked out. There were white and green and blue hangings that were fastened with cords of fine linen and purple to the silver rings and the pillars of marble, and the beds were of gold and silver upon the pavement of red and blue and white and black marble. A floor of mosaics, beautiful marble mosaics, and all of these curtains that cordoned off different sections for the different groups. And they had plenty of booze. They gave them drink in vessels of gold, the vessels being diverse from each other. Royal wine in abundance, according to the state of the king. And the drinking was according to the law. No one was compelled to drink or was compelled to stop drinking. So you could get just as soused as you wanted. For so the king had appointed to all of the officers of his house that they should do according to every man's pleasure. Drink all you want. Drink as little as you want. Also Vashti, who was the queen, made a feast for the women in the royal house which belonged to King Ahasuerus. And on the 7th day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuman and Biztha and Harbona and Bigtha and Abagtha and Zethar and Carcass, the 7 chamberlains, or the eunuchs, that served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king, to bring Vashti the queen before the king with a crown royal to show the beauty of the people and the princes her beauty, for she was beautiful to look on. Vashti, a very beautiful queen. The king is a little drunk, and he wants to show off her beauty. Now, in that culture, it wasn't proper for a woman to go out into public without her veil, without her coverings. What the king is asking her to do is just to come over and display her glorious beauty without her veil so that everyone can see the beauty of the queen. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore, the king was very angry, and his anger burned in him. It is sad when people drink and lose their sense of judgment. Oftentimes, a person will do things under the influence of alcohol that they would not normally do. The tragic thing is that it robs a person of natural inhibitions and of good judgment. And so many things that have been done under the influence of alcohol are later rude. A person is so sorry when they finally realize what they have actually done. And so the king, because of his being in a state of drunkenness, is angry. He's upset that she would not obey his command to come before him. Now, Persian kings were pretty high potentates, and they weren't used to people saying no to them. But Vashti had the courage to say no. And according to Josephus, these fellows came several times, and she insisted in not coming. Then the king said to the wise men, which knew the time, for thus it was the king's manner toward all that knew the law and the judgment. He called the lawyers in. And next to him was Karshina and Zethar and Admatha and Tarshish and Meres and Marcena and Mimacan. And this is the guy we're interested in, Mimacan, because he's the one that came up with the right advice. And the seven princes of Persia and Media, which saw the king's face, and those which sat first in the kingdom. And he said, what shall we do unto the queen Vashti according to the law? Because she has not performed the commandment of the king Ahasuerus by his eunuchs. What shall we do to her? What's the law in this case? And Mimacan answered before the king and the princes, Vashti the queen hath not done wrong to the king only, but also to all of the princes and to all of the people that are in all of the provinces of King Ahasuerus. For this deed of the queen will come abroad unto all of the women, so that they will despise their husbands in their eyes. And when it shall be reported, and the King Ahasuerus commanded Vashti the queen to be brought in before him, but she didn't come. So he said, look, this is serious, man. Word gets out in the province of this. We go home and our wives hear that Vashti didn't come when you called. We're going to have a real revolt on our hands. Can't have this. We've got to do something drastic. This is serious. Likewise, all of the ladies of Persia and Media will say this day unto all of the king's princes which have heard of the deed of the queen, and thus shall they arise too much contempt and wrath. Man, we've got real trouble on our hands if she gets by. So if it please the king, let there go forth a royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes, that it might not be altered. We do know that the law of the Medes and the Persians could not be changed. Remember when Darius, it happened earlier in history, but we won't get it until later in Daniel. When King Darius had signed the decree that no one could pray to any buddy but him for 30 days, and he sealed it with a signet ring, and the laws of the Medes and the Persians cannot be broken. The king, even himself, could not alter the law that he had made. And Daniel, being caught as a violator, the king did his best to deliver Daniel from the king's own edict, but he was bound by his own edict, for the laws of the Medes and the Persians were an edict of the king that was sealed with his ring, could not be broken. So here they say, make this commandment and seal it so that it cannot be altered. And it may be that they knew that the king was a little drunk and he loved Vashti, and it was well known, his love for her, so that they wanted to really seal this thing so he couldn't, you know, when he sobered up, change his mind about the whole thing. And that Vashti come no more before King Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than she. And when the king's decree which he shall make shall be published throughout all of his empire, for it is great, all of the wives shall give to their husbands honor, both to the great and the small. And the saying pleased the king and the princes, and the king did according to the word of Memucan. For he sent letters into all the king's provinces, into every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, that every man should bear rule in his own house. The man rules the house. And that it should be published according to the language of every people. So throughout the 127 provinces, this decree went, written in each of the language groups, so that they would all understand that the man was the ruler of the house. After these things, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus was appeased, sobered up, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what was decreed against her. And evidently he was a little despondent over it at this point. And his servants saw that, he's getting lonely. And then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, let there be fair young virgins sought for the king. And let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather together all of the fair young virgins unto Shushan the palace, to the house of the women, in the custody of Hegai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, and let their things for purification be given them. And let the maiden which pleases the king be queen instead of Vashti. And the thing pleased the king, and he did so. So a Miss Universe contest, and all of the young virgins, the beautiful girls from throughout the kingdom, were brought into the area of Shushan, and they're placed under the charge of this eunuch, Hegai, and they were to go through a 12-month beautification course, 6 months with oils and 6 months with perfumes, and after that period of time, they would be brought in night by night, each night a new one to the king, until he found one that really pleased him, who would be then the queen in the place of Vashti. So now in Shushan the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity, which had been carried away in Jeconiah, the king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. Now, Mordecai was probably himself not personally carried away captive, because that would mean that he would be about 120 years old at this point, which is not very practical. But the Benjamites were carried away, and he was of the tribe of Benjamin, of the family of Kish. And so of the family of Kish carried away in the captivity, his family was, and so he is of this tribe. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. So she was a cousin to Mordecai, his uncle's daughter, and thus he raised her as his own daughter. So it came to pass, when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan the palace to the custody of Hegai, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house to the custody of Hegai, the keeper of the women. And the maiden pleased him, that is Esther, and she obtained kindness of him. And he speedily gave her all of the things for purification, with such things as belonged to her the seven maidens, which were necessary to be given to her out of the king's house, and he preferred her and her maids unto the best place for the house of the women. But Esther did not show her nationality nor her family, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not show it. So she did not reveal that Mordecai was her cousin. She did not reveal that she was a Jewess. Her cousin Mordecai had commanded her not to do it. And Mordecai every day paced in front of the court of the women's house to know how Esther did and what would become of her.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse venture through the book of Esther in our next lesson, as we continue with more on the preparation of Esther. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study of Esther. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
I pray that God will bless you this week in a very special way, that your life will be guided by the Holy Spirit, that you'll have that sense of God's nearness and of God's presence, and especially of God's love. May He strengthen you as you walk in the midst of an evil and corrupt generation. May He keep your heart pure and holy towards Him. And thus, may you grow in your love and in your commitment to the things of God. In Jesus' name.
Since the original sin of Adam, God has been looking for a man that He can use to accomplish His purposes on this earth. The apostles were more than willing to be used by the Lord. What was it that gave them certain spiritual characteristics necessary to be used by God? Pastor Chuck's book, entitled The Man God Uses, examines the book of Acts. He reveals the secret of the apostles' boldness, the five essential components of prayer, and the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. So if you've ever wanted to accomplish more for the kingdom of God, then I encourage you to pick up a copy of Pastor Chuck's book. Once again, it's called The Man God Uses. Now, for those of you that wish to call, our convenient toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. Once again, that's 1-800-272-WORD.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.